A very good morning to you and welcome to Crime Watch program on Radio Miraya, a program that comes to you every Monday at 9 to 10. And I'm glad to tell you that we have our guests here with us already in the studio, and we will be discussing and looking at youth and their involvement in cattle raiding and intercommunal conflicts in the country. As you all know, cattle raiding has been one of the most, you know, challenge that the country has gone through, and it's still happening, and it has been happening for a very, very long time. And also intercommunal fighting. Now, this is one of the things that the young people are so much involved in instead of going or doing some other developmental activities. Well, to help us in this particular conversation, I'm glad to tell you that my guest in the studio, we have police advisor Abubakar Musiho, who is anti-cattle raiding unit of the Anpol Police. And also we have with us in the studio Lieutenant Angelo Malual Ako, who is a coordinator of Livestock Directorate of Borders and Livestock Police. We're glad to have him in the studio. And with us also we have Hawa Aganaz. Hawa Aganaz is a civil affairs officer working for the United Nations mission in South Sudan. Well, let's welcome our guest right away. Abubakar, good morning to you and welcome to Crime Watch.
Yeah, good morning to you, bro.
It's good to have you again here in the program so we can have this conversation. Lieutenant Angelo Malual, good morning. Welcome. It's good morning. Welcome. Thank you. It's good to have you. And we have with us Hawa Aganaz, who is a civil affairs officer working for the United Nations mission in South Sudan. Hawa, good morning and good to have you here in the program.
Good morning to you and good morning to all our listeners in South Sudan.
Thank you. And yes, let's go into this conversation. Of course, later we'll be able to open the lines and you can call us later and ask any question to our guests here in the studio. Now, let's begin, of course, the conversation with just the basics. First of all, let's start to know who are the youth and how do we define youth? And Lieutenant Angelo, just tell us, what do you understand or how do you define youth?
Good morning to all our listeners in Miraya. Let us say a happy new year. Actually, the definition of youth is vary from country to country and from organization to organization. Yeah, according to Collins Dictionary, it's a period between childhood and adult age. Then in the UN, it says a period is a youth is a person between 15 and 24. Then according to the Constitution of South Sudan, youth is a person between 18 and 32. Yes. And then when you come to Africa, the charter is also saying it's a person between 15 and 35. Yes.
All right. Yeah, so clearly, it depends on, you know, which country and what organization define youth. So you said in South Sudan is between the period of 18 to
32
years. 32 years old. African Charter defines it from 15 to 35 years old. And the United Nations defines a youth as a person between the age of 15 to 24 years. Mr. Abubakar, just briefly, give us some of the characteristics of youth today. Let's get to know about them.
Yeah, thank you very much, William, and our dear listeners. I don't want to say it is late for me to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Indeed, indeed. It's not very late.
And when we are here to talk about the youth, I will just reflect on the season we have been in. Festivals and the youth cannot be separated. So if I am to say something that is unique with this age bracket, I'll look at how good they are at listening, very attentive. Every youth, wherever they were, knew that Christmas was coming on this day. New Year was coming on this day, and activities they needed to accomplish. Meaning, they listen to one another and they learn so fast as unique characteristics of this age bracket. Then, they always collaborative, working with one another. They clearly understand that teamwork is the way to go. If they are going for an evening walk, during Christmas.
Yeah.
It will not be one youth. It will be a group. They also adapt so fast to the changing environment and situation is, and importantly, is that this age bracket is eager and so exciting because of the activities they would want to always get involved in. And as I end this, I would say youth are good at work because they have the physical energy. And now, how do we use this energy should be what the discussion should be taking
great.
Us to.
Yes, absolutely. As you mentioned, some of the characteristics of the young people who can be collaborative, who are willing and, you know, willing and curious to engage in some activities. This can basically be used in a very positive way and at the same time in a very negative way. So let's get to find out, particularly in South Sudan here as we enter in this conversation, let's get to find out about the youth in peace and security. How can they be used in this manner?
Yeah, thank you very much. I want to say that our population here in South Sudan, about 75% are youth. Out of the estimated 12 million people that are projected to be in South Sudan. What happens is that to understand that society has dynamics, we need to look at all age brackets. Now, for us to say youth, peace, and security, we need to have everyone involved, particularly this age bracket of very active people. And they should be seen supporting all other entities in their communities to ensure that peace prevails. Remember, because of the physical energy, the curiosity to learn, they are prone to making mistakes. And in this case, I would say crime. So we shall end up seeing them as perpetrators. But in the same experience, you find them becoming victims. The UN Security Council Resolution 2250 of 2015 recognizes this age bracket in communities worldwide. Why? Because of their positive role in communities at a community level, national level, African level, and a global context. For example, youth, peace, and security has so much that can define it. For example, we want to see the youth in peace building, in conflict resolution, because they also have peers with whom they work. If I am 15 years and I make a mistake, my fellow youth of 20 should be able to see a mistake in me and guide me. There are human rights that everyone should be seen protecting. So the youth, other than being looked at as a group of people whose rights should be protected, they should also be looked at as people that are part of the solution to the challenges we may be having at community level, like intercommunal conflicts, cattle raiding. Allow me say a few more things. That once we have recognized the critical role that the youth play in our communities, we can be sure of a better tomorrow. But we also need to understand that the same age bracket is prone to making mistakes. And so the older persons, the elders, should be seen coming in hand to support the youth to be meaningful. I want to make it clear that when we talk about the youth, it is both the girl
and the boy.
Somebody may say, where is this youth?
Great. Yes, Howard, let's look at, briefly, of course, we look at the role of the youth, what they can do and all that. But here in South Sudan at the moment, where are the youth positioned in terms of their role in the country?
Thank you very much, William. And I want to say happy new year to all our listeners out there. I just want to continue from where Mr. Bakari left. I have been thinking about this. When we talk about youth in South Sudan, mostly we think of the male youth, young males. But let's keep in mind that also young females are the ones we're also referring to. And they are, before I go to where they're positioned in South Sudan, listeners, I want to bring it to our attention that even the young girls also contribute to peace. They can also contribute to conflict in their own ways. So in South Sudan, youth have been looked at as catalysts for peace, and we have seen that in several ways. They are able to participate in promoting peace and security. If you go back to the referendum, during the civic education for referendum, many youth were involved in passing the message to the communities. That's why many of us knew that if you hold your hands together, we're voting for Wehda. If you spread your hands, we are voting for separation. So youth played a big role in that. So that's why I'm saying that youth also play a part in peace building in South Sudan. On the other hand, you can also witness with me or believe with me that youth have been engaged as agents of violence. This mostly happening at the subnational level in the counties, in the states, where you see these intercommunal conflicts happening, the cattle raiding that has been mentioned, mostly youth are involved. And here I will not just say only the male youth, the female youth help in singing along songs that also give strength for the young men to go for these activities. That means they're also supporting violence. But notwithstanding, it's important for us to note some of these roles that youth play in our communities, try to address them so that we can be able to promote a culture of peace among our youth. That's what I would like to say now.
All right, thank you. All right, yes. And if you just join us, you're listening to Crime Watch on Radio Miraya, a program that comes to you every Monday at 9 to 10. Well, we'll be taking your calls later. And don't forget, you can call us or send us a text message if you have any question that you'd like to ask. Now, my guests are here with me in the studio. Let's come to you, Angelo Malwal, as we are looking particularly on the issue of cattle raiding as well. So what roles can the youth play in preventing cattle raiding and intercommunal conflict? As we heard from the other two guests, they talked about the role of the youth, how they can be positive and also negative. But now here, let's look at the positive. What role can the young people play in the prevention of cattle raiding and intercommunal conflicts?
Thank you again. I think much of the role of youth has been said by my colleagues, but actually youth has much role to play in the community, especially in mobilization of poor community development. So, the same time is and make association for the conference also, they can also put in their development. Control and prevention of aggression through the conference or association. They can also infer the information to their colleagues and to the leaders who are in the country. Or in the sub-state. And then also they have also to plan for activities. They have also give opportunities for the youth, instead of going for raiding, they can even plan for agriculture activities. And then the trades, this is where also they give them the chance for that, to forget that things for raiding and so on. And then they coordinate also with the leaders among themselves on how to find information and how to make awareness. Then mitigate fees, as how I've put it, as we have seen it in election 2010 and also in 2011, they participate. It's also the dude. The build confidence among the communities. They also move from area to area to make an awareness. Then also they have to build there. They have to give the bridge gap to the community they are in. So they share also the information that they have. These are things that few
the young people can do. All right. Well, let's look at how can these young people be helped. Now, how can the United Nations and partners support youth in promoting peace and security in South Sudan? As we heard, they can play a very big role, but how can the United Nations help in this particular aspect?
Thank you very much, William. The UN and its partners are already playing a big role in supporting youth in their activities, and I'll cite a few. For example, if you look at the area of capacity building, we have supported training of youth and raising their awareness on peace processes, on activities that are ongoing in the country. And also, we've encouraged them to participate in dialogue. You know, there's this issue of having a certain percentage of youth and women in every activity that we do. As a UN at partners, we take that seriously. A project cannot be approved unless the percentage of youth is indicated, percentage of women is indicated in that project. NED can be approved. That's how we promote meaningful youth participation. And as we said earlier, both young women and men in this category. We're also encouraging that as we're going through with the consumer-making process, and also as the election is coming up, we'll encourage partners, including the government, to involve youth in these processes so that they're also part of it. And it's their right, they should be involved in these processes. And also, we have supported them with income-generating activities, and where possible, we're using the RSTF. It's a resilience program in communities to help them to come out of the situations they are in, give them a livelihood. For example, in Jongle, it's doing the communal violence reduction, where a cattle market has been established in UI, and it's really playing a big role. The youth are now buying and selling cattle, and these youth who are involved in this activity, I don't think they'll be willing to join the others to go fight, because they know they are making money, they want to secure their future.
And they're busy all the time.
Yes, and they're busy. Okay. So this is what we're trying to encourage, and that's what we really hope to support the youth in. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Yes, let's talk to Police Advisor Abubakar. Now, earlier, we looked at the roles that the youth can play in prevention of cattle raiding and intercommunal fighting. But now, how can the youth be prevented from cattle raiding and communal conflict, as something that has been happening? And you are a police officer, obviously, and police advisor. How do you think these young people can be prevented from engaging in this kind of negative activity? Because they have this whole energy that they can really put in something positive. But how do we prevent, like, them from being so much involved in cattle raiding and intercommunal conflict that we are seeing every day in South Sudan?
Yeah, thank you very much, William. I was waiting for that question, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, from where we began, I will still take us back that we need to understand that youth population is both an asset and a liability to any community. An asset in terms of how productive they can be to contribute to peace and development. A liability in terms of how destructive they can be and maybe negatively influencing others to join them in what we call bandwagon effect. So back to your question, we can do a lot more as a community, as people of South Sudan and the partners serving here. My colleague Hawa has just made mention of some of the few activities that animes and partners have undertaken to engage the youth population, become more productive, have more time to make money, and less time to think about crime. Just to bring an example, the other day somebody was telling me, I am celebrating another birthday. So I asked him, what is your age? He told me, I've just graduated from being 35, I'm now 36. I said, oh, congs.
Congratulations.
You are welcome to the age bracket of the advisors.
Adults now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So the youth should be made to know that today you are a youth, but tomorrow you are going to graduate. The physique that I talked about, the curiosity to learn, being able to be influenced even on a wrong cause mm-hmm. will come to an end when you are now the elder at community level mm-hmm. whom everyone shall be looking up to. So we need to talk to the youth and tell them, listen, today you have been a baby, tomorrow you are a youth, the other day you are the elder.
Mm-hmm.
And what shall other people learn from when they see you continuing behaving as a youth mm-hmm. in your 50s?
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody of 50 should behave as a person of
50. Mm-hmm.
A youth should behave as a youth, but consciously reminded to be a responsible citizen. There is a saying that it is the younger trees that make a forest. If you accept to participate in intercommunal violence and cattle raiding, willingly and knowingly,
mm-hmm.
you can end up getting into trouble with the law. You can be arrested mm-hmm. by the security forces, the NPS. Mm-hmm. You can lose a life.
Yeah.
I have not seen a shop selling spare parts for life.
Mm-hmm.
So once you are dead, you are dead. But as a country, we shall have lost your energies because you are supposed to be working, making money, increasing on the tax base
mm-hmm.
for the government to collect revenue. Then, of course, another thing that has been done, mm-hmm. we have been so keen following at community level. I remember on the 13th of December, we went to Rokon
mm-hmm.
and participated in a dialogue because one of the communities had moved with cattle, causing competition for water and pasture. So mm-hmm. there was a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
My sister here, Silver Affairs, organized and we went to Rokon.
Mm-hmm.
But the community was able to talk as a people, as a family, and the history was very clear. So we asked, why are we conflicting over the shared resources? At the end of the day, we left when it was very peaceful. Between 16th to 18th,
mm-hmm.
of December, we were in Wau in a pre-cattle migration conference
mm-hmm.
of the three states. But we understand ourselves. I saw this. We ate food together as people of the three states
mm-hmm.
and talked together. That means this discussion should begin. We should involve the youth. And I want to say in that conference, the youth were part
mm-hmm.
of the delegation.
So dialogue. And talking to each other. All right, we'll take some phone calls. If you have any question that you'd like to ask our guest, please don't hesitate. You can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-8101. Let's take our first caller in this particular segment. Good morning.
Good morning to the guests in the studio.
Good morning. It's good to have you in the program.
Andrea Camilo Owams in Pagao area.
Welcome, Andrea. It's good to have you.
I really appreciate the topic which you brought this Monday morning to be discussed with the police advisor
mm-hmm.
and the UN representative in the studio.
And also we have a South Sudan Police Service representative.
Okay, I do welcoming them all.
All right, so go ahead. Yes, what's
so
your question?
I have a question to the UN representative.
Mm-hmm.
UN play a key role in this country, but I would want to ask a question to them.
Mm-hmm.
Youth of this country lacking job opportunity. That is why they do rush to cattle raidings and killing themselves, and also there is some politicians which do mobilize some young youth and to fight for their position there in Juba.
Hmm.
What role are you going to give to this key government official which, if they lose their position, they came down here to some youth and mobilize them to go to bush and fight for their shares, and later on they go back to their share and those youth will remain in the bush or will remain in some containment area with food.
Right.
What advice will they give to those politicians to leave that one?
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrea Ngom, for your comments and questions. Let's begin right away. How old will you say as a civil affairs officer on the issue of lack of job is the one pushing the young people into these issues of cattle raiding and intercommunal fighting?
Thank you very much, William. And thanks to Andrea Camilo for calling in. The issue of lack of jobs is not only in South Sudan issue, it's a worldwide issue. It's not only affecting South Sudan. And when it comes to giving jobs, this only happens based on criteria set out, searching for, advertising for the job and qualifications of the particular youth. Educated youth have always vied for these positions. They have competed and some of them have been recruited. So my advice here is that as youth, we should focus on education to acquire some skills so that we can compete for these jobs that are out there. Without having a skill and a certificate for that skill, it's very difficult to enter the job market. That's like what I can tell you.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Abubakar, the second part of the question is about politicians mobilizing the young people for their selfish interests. What's your comment on that?
Okay, thank you very much. I'll take it up from where Hawa has stopped.
Mm-hmm.
A skilled youth will always be somewhere in society. When I was in Iwao, in the Purikato Migration Conference, there is a youth whom I admired. He read the communique. But we had elders in the hall. It was called the Peace Hall. I loved his eloquence. And that means everybody has seen him as a person who can deliver on something in the right way. Now, when you look at the definitions of the youth, I'm happy Angel mentioned, is between 18 to 32, according to our national laws here. And I also know, according to our constitution, anybody, ignorance of the law is no what? No defense. That I committed a crime because I was ignorant.
Okay.
So if somebody is 18, we presume he's mature. He should not be influenced because he reasons. But if it is positive influence, then take it up. Like if I came to you and I said, no, you know what? We are recruiting for the National Police Services. The information will go out there and people assemble and they are recruited. That is positive. But if I came and told you something, that let us go and participate in a cattle raid, then I should be able to tell you, be in front and I will follow. Because there are risks involved in such criminality.
Okay.
We lose life and people are injured. So the youth should not be simply driven.
So don't be influenced by politicians.
Yes.
Angelo, what would you like to add on that? Would you like to add something on this particular issue of the young people being, you know, recruited by politicians to do such a thing, or being mobilized rather? What's the down to Aliyah?
بالنسبه للشباب ان السياسيين بيسيسوا يمشي وراء السياسيين ده كما ذكر ابو بكر اذا انت زول الفهم ما بتقبل تمشي وراء زول بدون ما تعرف انت ماشي تعمل شنو مستقبلك بتاعك بيكون شنو لازم تكون انت مستقبلك ومستقبل تاع جنوب السودان او فرص تاع جنوب السودان كثير إذا مشينا تجاه شغلنا تجارة ده فرصة ما بقول أن أنا عاطلين ودياو خلينا نمشي وراء سياسيين أو نمشي وراء نسرق الأبغار نحب الأبغار يا بكون الحل في فرص كثير ممكن تكون مزارة إذا زرعت برضو جبت حاجات بالسوق بيشتغل في الفرص إن ممكن تكون زول متعلم تفتي شغلك عبر تعليمك ده كل طرق أن أنا بنلقى به شغل نبني ما بدون شغل ما بدون الله وأنا بفتي الشغل إذا ما فتج نو نحن ما بنلقاو.
Alright. Well, you can talk to us still here this morning. Let's take some calls. 0912067879 or 0918101. Let's take one more caller. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
Your name, please.
You're talking to Ustaz Bol from Malaga.
Ustaz Bol.
Yes.
Yes, Ustaz.
Walgalak from Malakal.
All right. It's good to have you, Ustaz. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I would like, first of all, to thank you for this wonderful topic today. I welcome our guests.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they pointed out, one of the guests said that education is something really that the youth needs to participate in. And this education, once the youth have participated in it, it will also be one of the things that is going to eradicate the crimes that are ongoing in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But for the case of South Sudan, education is something that the United Nations and the government needs to work hard to promote. Because in South Sudan here, in other states like in Malakal, in Unity State and other places, education is really weak. There is no good education institutions that can provide the real education that these youth need.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like in Malakal here, there is only one school that I'm teaching in, and this school founded by a UN worker who is a national.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings international teachers from Uganda and from Kenya. And this is the only school in Malakal that is trying to give education. But there are some challenges that this founder is facing.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to the guests is, and anybody or any one of them can answer,
mm-hmm.
what has been the role of the United Nations in South Sudan to help the government in promoting education? Because education is really something that themselves have said is good if youth are supposed to participate in. So what have they done in order to make this education sector a successful sector?
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us. We do appreciate your time. Ustaz Ball from Malakal. Yes, how I will give you that question. What role or what has the United Nations mission in South Sudan or UN agencies generally done in helping the government when it comes to promotion of education? As he acknowledged, indeed, education is very, very important for the young people to be able to change their mindset in the first place. So, yes, let's go to the question. What role has or what is the UN doing to help the government when it comes to education?
Yes, thank you very much. And I would like to thank the caller, Ustad Paul Galwak from Malakal. Appreciate your concern and your understanding of the challenges we face in the education sector. As you all know, the UNMISS mandate, key mandate, is to promote protection of civilians. And then other issues come in, like investigating and monitoring human rights violations, and then providing situations or environments conducive to humanitarian access and assistance. But when it comes to education per se, we have other UN agencies that mm-hmm. are involved in that. For instance, if you look at UNICEF, I am very sure you're aware that UNICEF is almost in all parts of this country. One day I went to do a peace activity in one of the counties in Jonglei State. I found children there carrying the UNICEF bags,
mm-hmm.
and that showed me that UN is supporting education even up that remote location. So we have UNICEF that is supporting education in South Sudan. And when you come to the young adults, we have UNFPA, which is mostly dealing with reproductive health. And they are doing that to make sure that the young adults are kept in school. For example, girls are given kits to maintain them in school so that when they're in that period of the week, in the month, they don't have to abstain from school. They have to participate so that they can have a better future. I think that's what I have to say regarding education and the UN support to the system.
All right. Thank you. And yes, with that also, we're coming to the end of our program for this particular Monday morning. But before we go, we're going to give you a chance to send your final remarks and messages, especially on youth and their involvement in cattle raiding and intercommunal conflict. Let's begin with you, Lieutenant Angelo Malwal, Rishala Alta Biraso Lenas Albasumana Desino.
And I'm going to say that the لاحظن بيشوف الطرق وسنتع السبل أو الطرق المفيدة لدولة يقدر يقدم بها دولة ويخلي شغل عطالة الناس بيقعد في عطالة wa lomba na lomba baad
Sukran Kalis. Yes, Hawa Aganas, what will be your message?
Yeah, thank you very much, William. I would like to say that the youth are the energy base of the country. If we participate positively in development activities, we shall see that South Sudan moves forward economically, socially, and it will lead to the unity of the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Agnes Aganas. And Police Advisor Abubakar, what will be your message?
I love the words of Hawa. I would have loved to say my final message in Arabic, but
yes,
I would be able to do that another time.
Okay.
The youth okay. being Looking the energy base, mm-hmm. I want to describe it more and say the youth are the engine
mm-hmm.
of development because of their big numbers and their physical energy and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Involving them in all fronts is the best way to go in minimizing cattle raiding and intercommunal conflicts. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Police Advisor Abubakar Musiho, and thank you, Lieutenant Angelo Malwal, and thank you so much, Hawa Aganas, for coming to this particular program. We do appreciate your time, and hopefully we can do this next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, that brings us to the end of Crime Watch for this Monday morning. Thank you so much for your company and for your contribution. And above all, thank you for sending us those text messages, but also for listening to us. We do appreciate your time. Do have a very, very lovely day.